Yes, plenty to get through. Prince William is waiting. So straight to the Nobels. Carl Smith is away, but we found another favourite Smith. Bell, who won?
Well, Robin, the first cab off the rank is the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine, which was awarded to David Julius and Ardem Patapoutian. They discovered how we sense temperature and touch. Now, this may seem pretty fundamental to the way we experience the world, but it wasn't until the 90s when Julius and his crew at UC San Francisco conducted some pretty spicy studies to learn what triggered sensations of heat and cold. They initially wanted to find out how the chemical capsaicin, which is found in chilies, creates that burning feeling. They identified a particular heat sensor, or receptor, in lab-grown human nerve cells. In the presence of capsaicin, this receptor kicks off an electrical signal in the nerve, which then travels to our brain where we perceive that sensation as heat. They later used chemicals found in wasabi and mint to discover receptors that let us feel heat pain, itchiness, and cold. Some 800 kilometres down the Californian coast, Patapoutian and his squad at Scripps Research in La Jolla independently made that same cold receptor discovery. But that team also wanted to learn more about touch and how our nerve cells are activated when something presses up against our skin. And in 2009, they identified a pressure receptor, which was followed by a second pressure receptor. So, why do these discoveries matter? Well, pressure receptors are crucial in knowing when your bladder is full, for instance, or keeping your blood pressure under control. They also help us keep track of the position and movement of our body parts. That's proprioception. And finding the molecular basis of heat pain gives scientists a target for pain relief therapies. Stop those receptors from doing their job, and you stop the pain at the source. Next up is the Nobel Prize for Physics. There were three winners this year, awarded for their studies which made sense of apparently random phenomena in complex systems. Half the prize went to two physicists for their work in climate modelling and predicting global warming. Because when it comes to complex systems, Earth's climate is way up there. For this one, we have to go back to the 60s. Meteorologist Tsukuro Manabe worked with colleagues at the US Weather Bureau to develop a climate model. It may seem fairly basic now, but it laid the foundations for climate models used today. Remember, this is 1960s computing. So to keep it simple, he simulated a column of air from the Earth's surface up 40 kilometres into the atmosphere. He wanted to know how would extra carbon dioxide affect the temperature at different altitudes. And the calculations were clear. Higher atmospheric carbon dioxide levels translated to warmer surface temperatures, while the upper atmosphere cooled down. And that's what we see today. The second physics Nobel winner, Klaus Hasselmann, answered the question of why models can reliably predict the climate years or even decades down the track, but we can't really forecast the weather the week after next. Around a decade after Manabe's foundational work, Hasselmann and his colleagues in Germany linked weather to climate for the first time. They developed a model that used data from those rapid weather changes to make long-term climate predictions. They also came up with techniques that teased out the influence of natural and human influences on the climate. And these were used to show global warming is indeed driven by human activities emitting carbon dioxide. The other half of the physics Nobel went to Italian theoretical physicist Giorgio Parisi. His notable work in the late 70s and 80s dealt with special alloys called spin glasses. Now, stay with me here. In a normal magnet, iron atoms, which are like tiny magnets themselves, are neatly aligned. In spin glasses, though, a few iron atoms are scattered throughout something like copper. And these iron atoms aren't nicely lined up. They're all pointing in different directions and being pushed and pulled around by the iron atoms around them. Parisi worked out how each iron atom affected the properties of the spin glass as a whole. Finding out how the evolution of a complex system relates to the behaviour of its individual parts is useful beyond weird magnets. It can help model Earth's climate and predict patterns generated in things like financial systems and flocks of thousands of starlings. Last but not least, the Chemistry Nobel. This year it was shared by Benjamin List and David McMillan. They independently developed new tools that help chemists build molecules faster, cheaper, and greener than before. So we're back in the 1990s again, and List is at Scripps Research in California, looking for ways to make chemical reactions happen more efficiently. Nature already has molecules that do this. They're called enzymes. But enzymes are quite chunky as molecules go. They're made up of hundreds of amino acid building blocks and kind of hard to make in a lab. List wondered if just a single amino acid called proline might do the trick. And amazingly, it did. Meanwhile, McMillan was part of a team at UC Berkeley. They designed simple carbon-based or organic molecules which could act as catalysts for chemical reactions. He'd worked with catalysts made with metals before, but they had a habit of falling apart in water. His team's organic catalysts were much more durable, plus they had the bonus of being made of common elements like oxygen and nitrogen. No environmentally harmful heavy metals needed. So, how does all this affect us? Well, during a chemical reaction, two molecules can often form which are a mirror image of each other, kind of like our hands. But chemists might only want just one of those mirror images. This is especially important in pharmaceuticals, such as thalidomide, where the mirror image molecule of the morning sickness drug caused serious birth defects in thousands of children. List and McMillan's tools favour one mirror image over the other, giving chemists much more control over the drugs they make. So that's a whistle-stop tour of this year's Science Nobel Prize winners, and we barely touched on their many accomplishments. But given the past 18 months or so, it only seems fitting that the prizes would go to those who explore sensations of touch and warmth, produce safe medicines that keep us healthy and well, and make sense of a chaotic and seemingly random world.
Thanks, Belle.